Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Mm-hmm. Today's episode is pretty straightforward, but towards the end, there's a pretty big hook.
And this is Stranger Still.
Welcome to Stranger Still, the show where we answer the questions you never thought to ask.
I'm John Beacon.
And I'm close-minded. How are you, John?
I'm pretty close-minded myself.
I'm Nick Wood. I forgot my name for a second.
Nick read a scathing review before the podcast.
And I'm really upset.
I know.
Some people might say that we are close-minded.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that we're not, and I'm going to tell you why at the end of this episode. But also, how can we be close-minded when I'm just presenting facts about prosthetics?
Because we're opinionated.
Oh.
And people confuse those words.
They do. You're right. They do. Sometimes we talk about controversial topics,
mm-hmm.
like are crystals
magic?
Yes, they are bunk. Are MLM scams a scam? They are a scam. Sometimes we talk about weird and cool science, and that's what we're doing today.
Yeah. Lend me a hand and let me know what we're working on.
Oh, man. There's going to be a lot of those, aren't there?
I don't know. It's scary to navigate.
It is. But I would say that this episode probably has a leg up on all the other ones that we've done.
Okay, we're safe so far.
So far, so good. Yeah. I guess we should do a quick disclaimer at the top here. Usually we do jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And if we say something offensive...
Leave us a 3-star review on iTunes.
I just want to apologize up top because we're not trying to be offensive. I personally find prosthetics super cool. And that's kind of why I want to do this. This was a suggestion from my wife. And any joke that we do is just to keep the format.
Yeah.
It's not to be offensive.
No. I mean, I don't know how offensive we could be. Prosthetics is pretty simple, so yeah. We might as well just jump right in.
Yeah.
But, so there was an old man, and he would prophesize that there's going to be, like, stars in the sky at a certain time, and he'd say that, like, you know, countries were going to go to war, and he always prophesized it correctly.
Yeah. And his name was No Armstridus.
Mm-hmm.
No. That's as good a pun as you're going to get out of me
mm-hmm.
today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too bothered by that 3-star review, man. Oh, well, we'll get there, won't we? Should we talk about prosthetics, John?
I just did, but continue.
I just want to say up top, too, one of my favorite artists of all time, Logan Whitehurst. He did pass away from brain cancer, like, 12 years ago now.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's a long time. He had a really good song called Prosthetic Brain, which I always thought was a really funny idea to have a prosthetic brain. So go seek out that song. It's a good one.
Cool.
Prosthetics. They're so cool, dude. Like, modern prosthetics. Old prosthetics are not cool because they're just like a part of a tree.
Yeah, a robot hand for your lightsaber.
Yeah. It wasn't, that was Luke Skywalker. I guess that was in a galaxy far, far away. That was a pretty good joke. I just kind of talked over
mm-hmm.
and ruined it, so I'm sorry about that. But I think we should start in the history when prosthetics were not so cool and not like Luke Skywalker's time frame. I'm talking like Earth's time frame.
Yeah, peg leg times.
Peg leg times. You have the Stone Age, you got the Bronze Age.
And you got the peg leg days.
The peg leg days. I am not going to ask you when you think the first prosthetic was made.
Pirates. Duh.
No. I'm going to tell you the first prosthetic was that we have found.
Ancient Egyptian cave pirates.
Yes. It wasn't ancient Egypt. You are right about that. But they didn't have pirates yet. There wasn't movies to download off the internet yet.
They didn't have that tour.
Uh-huh. God. So what I do want to ask you is what part of the body do you think the first prosthetic was for? And I'm going to give you a hint.
Uh-huh.
It was for a noblewoman, and it had to do with fashion.
Wow.
So where do you think the first prosthetic was for on the body?
Fashion.
Egypt.
Yeah, okay, so ancient Egyptian.
What was their fashion like?
They were really good with wingtips. They were ahead on their Instagram game for making sure their
Hashtag
eyeliner
no
had
filter.
Yeah, no filter. They had good wings on their eyeliner.
Mm-hmm.
Lips.
No, that's a really good guess, though. The first prosthetic that we have found was for the big toe.
Oh, duh.
Because of sandals.
Yeah, the most fashionable of toes.
Yeah. Well, if you didn't have a big toe, you couldn't hold your sandal on.
Yeah, it really makes the other toes, like, compliment and nice.
I know. But I think it's also important to point out that most of the early prosthetics were more form over function. They were just kind of there to fill a void, not really provide a service. In this case, it did provide a service that it kept...
With its beauty, because everyone's looking at a big, beautiful big toe.
Yeah, made out of leather or something. Mm. But
I'm getting chills just thinking about how beautiful it must have been.
Yeah, there's a picture of it online.
Okay, well, I don't
know.
Maybe
it'll be our thumbnail for this episode.
Okay, cool.
It's not disgusting or anything.
Yeah, no, it's not like rated R or anything.
No. Okay. It's just a big toe. But this one held her sandal on. And back in the day, since they were like form over function, a lot of them did belong to noble people, noble persons.
Mm-hmm.
And prosthetics throughout history, as we move along, they weren't so leisurely associated. Like, oh, I need to wear my sandals, so give me a big toe. Like, we very quickly lost that kind of mentality. And most of the developments of prosthetics coincide with war.
Mm-hmm.
So if you track like the evolution of prosthetics against major war times, that's when you see the most developments, I guess, not even just with prosthetics, but with amputations as well.
Mm-hmm.
There was a very famous ancient Roman general, Marcus Sergius, who lost his hand like really early on in his career. It was his left hand, or his non-dominant hand, I should say. I don't know which hand it was. But they made him a prosthetic hand that he could use to hold his shield up.
Oh,
and he went on to have a really long war career. But since he was a general, they're like, he needs to be able to fight and defend himself still. So they made him a hand to hold his shield. And that was like one of the first limbs. Actually, I think that was the first limb that we have discovered as a prosthetic on a person.
Yeah, shield arm.
Shield arm.
It's That's like, cool as hell.
I just plug it in. It's like Army of Darkness. He had first he had the chainsaw hand, and then he had like a real hand he plugged in. Have you not seen Army of Darkness?
No.
Okay.
I want to.
You can borrow it.
Thank you.
The reason that so many of the advancements were tied to war, I guess this is where my opinion comes in, is that obviously people are losing limbs, but if you were a normal person and you needed a prosthetic, you'd still have to go to the people making weapons to get a prosthetic.
If you were a noble person?
Well, if you're just like a regular person and like you were born without a big toe.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to keep using big toe because it's unintrusive and non-offensive. Hopefully, but you'd still have to go to a blacksmith or an iron worker to have them make the prosthetic big toe.
Yeah.
So the person that's making the weapons is still making the normal prosthetics at this time.
Yeah. And it makes you appreciate how far we've gone today, because now you just have to go to like Party City and you could get one of those bloody thumbs for Halloween and put that on your toe. People won't tell you this. They'll make you pay extra for the toe. The thumb actually works as a prosthetic big toe too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of makeup.
Just a little. You got to cover some of the blood up maybe. Sometimes they look like they have they're just like
unless
bloody and gross. Yeah. Unless that's what you're going for.
It's a conversation starter.
If it's like a Halloween foot.
Yeah. Or you can get like those Groucho Marx glasses. If you're missing eyebrows or a nose, just wear those.
Yeah, I guess so.
If you're Voldemort, you can wear those. And can we Photoshop that? Groucho Marx glasses onto Voldemort?
Yeah.
Someone's got to have done that, right?
I'm sure there's a whole Tumblr of Voldemort with eyebrows and noses.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Between ancient Rome and the 1400s, this is like the span of almost two millennia, there wasn't a whole lot of development in prosthetics.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You already knew this?
No, I was just trying to get caught up because you said, what was the time frame? 1400s?
Ancient Rome to the 1400s.
Okay, I think back then it was called Betwixt, but
Betwixt.
That's fine.
Oh, sorry.
I think we changed it between in the 90s.
I forgot my Victorian English.
Thank you.
At this time you had basically, if you didn't have a hand, they'd give you a hook. Either a meat hook or like the one that the guy in Series of Unfortunate Events has. Or you'd have a peg leg that just cut off a limb, polish it up, and attach it to the bottom of your residual limb.
So, okay, I'm so curious as to how this was done and why is it associated with pirates?
Because
they lost a lot of limbs on the sea?
They did lose a lot of limbs, yeah.
So you'd think that because, you know, they probably have machinery that like ropes pull their limbs off and
that
gross.
That happened a lot. That still happens today.
Yeah, terrible. So now, okay, I need a leg.
Yeah.
They definitely use a chair, right? They definitely,
absolutely. Like, your stool now has three legs.
Yeah.
It's a three-leg stool. Now we can go milk.
That's how that was invented. A guy lost his
leg
off.
It was pretty much like that, though, until the 1500s, And this is when we started introducing springs and gears into the mix. We started getting hinged limbs.
Mm-hmm. This is about the same time that Will Smith's movie came out, Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
So steampunk was in.
Yes. It was lots of gears.
Yeah, lots of steam that didn't do much.
Prosthetic
hats.
Prosthetic hats. Mm-hmm. For
the hatless.
When you lose your real hat.
Right.
Yeah. We had like locking and unlocking knees, stuff like that. There was this amputee and prosthetic master in the 1500s named Ambrose Paré. I hope I'm saying that right. He apparently is like super famous in the world of prosthetics. Technically, he was a French army barber / surgeon.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because back in the day, the people performing the
surgery were barbers.
Were also the people cutting your hair.
Yeah. I cut stuff. Yeah, living.
That's you have scissors.
Things are simple back
then.
Cut
off that leg and his hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting a little shaggy.
Yeah.
We have standards.
A little fade on the side.
Yeah. He was good at that too, I read. He'd made a ton of advancements in the field, including the first hinged wrist and a locking knee. He also had like leg harnesses that weren't really common back in the day, where you could strap a prosthetic more easily to your body,
mm-hmm.
And almost have like a real knee and an ankle instead of just a peg leg.
Yeah, just one that you need a knee key for.
A knee key? To unlock it?
That's how you unlock a knee lock.
Well, ever since Apple took away the swipe, you have to put in a passcode.
Yeah.
Or you can use your thumbprint.
Use your thumbprint on your knee.
Unlock that knee. Prosthetics kind of skyrocketed from there. We were learning more about how the body works, and of course we were more violent.
Mm-hmm.
We're still violent, and we're still making developments in prosthetics. Already a couple hundred years after Paré made his advancements, we had prosthetic tendons made out of animal intestines. They're called cat gut tendons.
Okay, gross.
Because they just like pulled meat out of the lining of these intestines and used them as tendons.
Anything that's like gross and squishy and inside of someone, you could call meat, right?
Yes. Our muscles are meat.
Yeah, like lung meat and like...
Yeah.
I don't know. Bone meat?
Not bone meat.
Yeah, sure.
Bone meal?
Oh, gross, dude. No one wants to eat that. Unless you're like a troll or something.
I don't know. I use them in Minecraft to make my stuff grow.
Yeah, I guess so.
Is that beyond your comprehension?
I don't know. I'm not a 10-year-old.
One thing... Oh, God.
I love
sick
Minecraft.
Burn. One thing I did learn that is that until the 1800s, if you needed something amputated on anywhere on your leg, they would just lop it off at the thigh.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had a problem with your big toe, they'd cut off your entire leg.
Oh.
So in 1843, someone discovered an ankle amputation that meant if there's something wrong with your foot, they would cut your ankle or
you get to keep your leg
off of the ankle, and you get to keep the rest of your leg.
That's great.
That's a huge advancement.
Yeah.
And as far as history goes, this is where we sort of hit a plateau. Like, there's not a lot of technological advancements outside of... I mean, we already have our hinges discovered and our springs and our gears and stuff, so there's only so much we can do until we develop computers. Because then that's when things get fun again.
We started doing 3D printing, yeah.
Yeah, but even though we hit a plateau with prosthetics, we still were getting way better at amputations because we're getting better at germ theory and stuff, and we're learning more about how nerves work and how they interact with different parts of your body. And people were getting less infections, so the whole world of surviving after an amputation was just better. And they didn't have to take off your whole leg.
Yeah, you get a splinter on your hand, now you're right half boy. We're going to split you in half.
Yep.
You're going to be betwixt and two.
That was how it was.
That's another use of the word.
1848.
Mm-hmm.
There was still a lot of functionality to be desired for a really long time. Like if someone moved a muscle at their elbow, the prosthetic still couldn't bend. And that's when we developed microprocessors and we put them in the prosthetics that we started to have like this muscle's twitching. So the user wanted to close their hand. So now the computer interpolates the electro signal sent to that muscle, turns it into function in the prosthetic.
Nice. Yeah, I saw a guy that was getting a hand so he can drum.
Yeah.
And he was doing flam taps and like triplets, like yeah. At robot speed
yeah.
On his arm.
I don't want to spend too much time on modern day prosthetics because what's coming in the future is way more exciting. But nowadays, we've mostly just focused on making the prosthetics lighter and easier to attach to the body, or the attachments are more advanced with the microprocessors. So there's three main components to a modern prosthetic. there's the socket, and that's where the prosthetic will attach to the residual limb. And depending on the limb, they might also put those microprocessors in the socket that will look for that electrical charge in a muscle and then have the prosthetic react accordingly. We've gotten to the point where, like, we can say if this tendon is flexed, then they wanted to move this finger. But that pretty much only works in hand prosthetics.
Yeah.
Because it's so simple. Like, the mechanics of your arm are, like, once you get past the elbow, there's not a whole lot of function in there. Like, you want to either hinge your hand or move your fingers. Those are completely separate muscles. But when you get to your foot and your legs, there's a lot more to it. So they can't really do that. But we'll come back to that in a second, because I got some prices here about prosthetics. Because there's like the super advanced prosthetic leg.
So these are American prices?
The article I had them in pounds, but I did a rough estimate to it.
Because I'm curious as to if you lose a limb in the U.S. versus if you lose a limb in Canada, what the cost is going to be on the consumer. Yeah. Probably way different, because we don't have healthcare.
I have the base price, though. Like, yeah, I know what you're saying, though.
Mm-hmm.
The second part of a prosthetic is the pylon, and this is like the structural element to the prosthetic. So if it's a leg, like it's the pipe that's supposed to simulate a femur, or if it's part of your arm, then it's supposed to be your arm bone. What's that called?
The
tibia?
It's called the arm calf.
The arm calf.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an idiot. The most technological advancements we made here comes down to weight. So these days we're lucky enough to have carbon fiber, which is like super strong and super lightweight, and pretty much everything's made of that.
Comes out of your mouth, right?
Out of your mouth?
Yeah, it's carbon.
Everything that we are is carbon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you could breathe it into
but
existence.
It's not fiber. You got to eat more Triscuits for that.
Oh.
The third part, the last part, is the suspension system, and that's how the prosthetic attaches to the body. So it's pretty simple. It could be a harness or a belt or glue, whatever you have handy, hot glue.
I would think the classic way to think of it, if you're thinking of like someone in an action movie putting a gun on their arm or something, mm-hmm. is like clicks and twists.
Yeah.
And I wonder if there's a lot of that going on in sockets too.
You
feel like click and twist. I've seen people do that for their legs when they're runners.
Yeah.
And they get those cool like bouncy bow mm-hmm. legs.
Yeah. I would imagine that they have some sort of socket that has removable parts though, as opposed to like having something permanently attached to them.
Yeah.
As far as modern prosthetics go, there's a lot of problems still with them, which is still kind of surprising. There's two major problems that I see, and then I'll get to some other problems. One, of course, is price, because in America, like you said, our healthcare system is a joke.
Yeah.
The microprocessors aren't too expensive, but like carbon fiber and all of the process, like vacuum forming to make all this stuff, is very expensive. So at least in the United States, it's not all that affordable. And maybe you've kind of already noticed the second problem is almost this entire episode I've only talked about arms and legs and hands.
Yeah.
There's other body parts that people either lose or they're born without that are a lot smaller that don't get as much focus, like an ear or a big toe. So there's not as much obviously there's not as much focus there, but there's not a lot of personalization to these things either, unless you are a runner. They make running ones, stuff like that, or if you're the lady from Kingsman, you get swords on the bottom of your prosthetic legs. You ever see that movie?
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I like that
actress.
I wouldn't
want it.
When I was little, because I've seen Wild Wild West, my grandfather worked at immigration,
mm-hmm.
and he used to stop people from coming through, and like he'd be like, "Hey, give me your knives, got to take them."
Yeah. So he worked at customs.
He worked at customs.
Or Border Patrol.
So he would, he worked at customs. He met like Justin Timberlake and a bunch of people.
Gotcha.
I met Frank Sinatra once.
Really?
So anyway, he had this big box of knives that they were just like getting rid of in the back. So he took them because they were going to get rid of them.
Yeah.
And he gave me a 1-inch Italian stiletto switchblade when I was a little kid, because it was so tiny that I couldn't do anything with it.
Right.
So I watched Wild Wild West, and then I cut a hole in the bottom of my shoe and I tried to make it so I could turn it on with my toe.
You try to smack your heels together or whatever?
No, I would just like, I would stomp down with my right foot and hit the button with my toe and open a switchblade on the bottom of my toe.
So stupid.
It was so cool for that day until it like velcroed off or whatever.
I love little baby John. And mm-hmm. if you want to hear more of that, go listen to our Patreon bonus episode this month.
Oh yeah, my dad's been asking about that. He wants to hear it.
Yeah. He'll have to donate $5 a month.
Yep.
So there's a couple exciting things that kind of solve for both of these problems, and that is you already said it once.
3D printing.
Yes, 3D printing. there's, like, recently there's a bunch of really awesome tear-jerking stories, like, about the guy that, I don't remember the exact story, I couldn't find it again, but he kept, like, making 3D printed prototypes of a prosthetic for his little brother, little sister, and he kept, like, sending them to his parents, and then they'd send it back with feedback, and he just kept developing it until it was perfect, and then they could have it produced for real, so they didn't have to waste a bunch of money trying to make it fit right and all this stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was just perfect, and it was personalized to the individual. There's a video pretty recently of a little girl that was born missing a large portion of her ear, so they 3D printed, like, the outside structure of the ear,
yeah,
and made it attachable to her head.
That's so
3D
sick.
Printing. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I see a lot with dogs that can't walk too.
Yeah.
They build wheelchairs for them.
Yeah.
Print them out.
There's a bunch. Like, you Google 3D printed prosthetic, there's entire communities out there working on really cheap prosthetics, and, like, some of them cost like $50 to make.
Yeah.
Like a prosthetic hand. And maybe it doesn't have all the function.
We need a 3D printer. Please donate to our Patreon.
Yeah. I would love that. It probably $50 probably won't have all the functionality, but it's better than, like, the best prosthetic leg that I could find was somewhere around $40,000.
Yeah.
And in pounds, it was 20,000. So I did a little bit of converting there.
I'd like to dig into why.
Mostly, I think it's...
It seems artificial.
Well, it's the production. It's probably artificial, but all the research that had to go into it, it's got a lot of stuff, like the microprocessors that react to your muscles twitching to move your ankle and stuff like that. So a lot of that technology cost a lot of money to develop.
Yeah.
They got to pay for it somehow.
Can I say, from my context, without knowing the situation, I feel like there's a Martin Scorsese there somewhere. There's probably someone that's in charge of, like... cost for medical prosthetic companies and just decide to inflate it.
Well, the thing that sucks about this is the market is incredibly small, but it's such an important science that if you're dumping a bunch of money into research, unfortunately, you do have to pay for that somehow.
Yeah.
And you're only going to get how many buyers from it. So it's all, it is like Martin Scorsese. There is a certain demand for it, but like...
It's
a double-edged sword.
It's going to cost money either way, but that's why 3D printing is so exciting.
Yes.
Because it's like do-it-yourself arms.
And I got some more examples of that here just in a little bit. That same article that had the best prosthetic leg pointed out that even if you get a limb moving based on a muscle, like with this super awesome leg one or some of the more, I guess, easier to produce arm ones, you don't get any feedback. And that's one of the things that this article pointed out is... you can tell your prosthetic to grab something, but you don't feel it closing in on something.
Yeah.
So either you don't, like, it's just a weird feeling. It's probably like out of body experience, but you also don't know when to like stop. So if you're trying to grab an egg, it just kind of keeps going and then breaks the egg.
Yeah.
So there are schools of prosthetics out there, like, dedicated just to solving the sensory feedback piece. And right now, kind of the best technology we have is they put, like, temperature or pressure detectors in the fingertips.
Yeah.
And then in the socket that attaches to the limb, it sends an electrical charge that's supposed to, like, nudge it a
little bit. Simulate touch?
Oh, that's supposed to simulate touch, but on some people, it tickles them. Some people, it hurts them. Some people, it's just annoying. So it's not, like, it depends on the person. It's not perfect, and it's not, certainly not the feeling of touching something.
Yeah.
But the thing is, this is something that they're working on fixing, and that's pretty exciting. But here is the moment I've been waiting for this whole episode, which is, what if we could hotwire the nerves in our residual limb to make prosthetics act like a real body part based on what you, as the user, intended to do with it?
That's what my thought went to.
Wouldn't that be so cool?
Nice little bundle that we can just unravel.
Yeah.
Looks like a little coral reef and just kind of put it through.
It's gross.
Yeah.
Human bodies are disgusting. I can say that as a human. So
yeah, you're...
If I was a cat, that'd be different.
You are a human, so you do have the right to say that.
Today, there's a few different ways that people are trying to solve for this. Like the hands that grasp, there's almost no precision there. So one company is trying to compensate for that by having a camera that looks at the object the user is trying to grab and then processes an algorithm that will determine the best type of grasp for that object.
Oh, man.
Right. So as soon as you send the grasp command to the prosthetic, then it runs the algorithm and it'll say, well, we only need to use two fingers. We need to pinch this thing, or we need to use the whole hand, which... that's something, but it still sucks.
Yeah, that doesn't get me excited.
there's this company called Cambridge Bio-Augmentation Systems, or CBAS.
Oh, no. Cambridge is...
No. They should change... Well, that's why they go by CBAS. They're trying to plug in prosthetic limbs directly.
If you're listening to this, like, in 20 years in the future, there was a Cambridge scandal recently. Yeah.
Just go back in time 20 years.
2018, Cambridge. Yeah. Search it.
But you've heard of phantom limb, right?
Yeah.
That's where, like, if you lose a limb, the parts of your brain associated with that limb are still there. So they'll still try to send electrical signals to what used to be there.
Yeah.
And you'll still feel, like, random sensations of your hand moving, or it gets cold or something like that.
I saw a really cool video.
Yeah.
I just want to share real quick.
Please.
What they did is they took, they had you take your real hand. You had normal functioning arms.
Yep.
You put your normal arm on one side of a table.
Yep.
And then there's a curtain.
Yeah.
And then you put your arm, then you have an arm that's like coming out of your shirt, and it's a prosthetic.
Yeah.
And what they would do is they took a paintbrush and they would paint the prosthetic at the same time that they're painting your real hand. And then they'd stop, and then they'd put pins in the prosthetic arm, and people would retract and, like, think it hurts.
Yeah. There's also a really good book by Stephen King called Duma Key.
Yeah.
That the main character loses, I think, a leg. It's been a long time since I read it. He loses a body part and has, like, all these weird phantom limb sensations. But sort of what scientists at CBAS are doing is they're kind of like hijacking that, and they're plugging a computer directly into the nerves to where we can then process the signals that the brain is sending to those nerves, put them through a program, and then tell the prosthetic, this is what the brain is wanting to do, now do this.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Isn't that absurd?
Yeah.
And that certainly sounds expensive. According to CBAS, this type of prosthetic would cost about $20,000 a unit. So still half the price as that leg. But they also plan on making the software that interprets the nerve inputs open source.
Yes.
Which means that if you know how to code and you have a 3D printer or a laser cutter, you could potentially just make this thing in your basement.
Yeah.
Which is absurd.
Which is also scary that, like, I mean, how fast has this all progressed? That's what gets me excited about the future.
New. I think they've been in operation for just a couple of years, if that.
Okay. So whenever I get depressed about life, and I think one of the things that, like, helps me look forward to, like, exciting and good things is science, right? That's why we do this podcast a lot of the time too.
Yeah.
And I think, like, 20, 30 years ago, the internet, how slow it was, and now we're creating arms. And we're making open source software so that you can open source software so you can make it in your basement.
Yeah. And then maybe there's a bug that you can't figure out where it just keeps sticking up the middle finger on the hand.
Yeah.
It's open source. So then someone comes in and says, let's get rid of that bug.
That was me. I was trolling you. I made you flip off your mom.
And then you ruin your relationship with your mom.
Yeah. But then there'll be like jetpacks to fix that.
Yeah.
Because you take a jetpacking and you know, mom, it was a troll.
Yeah. You lost me.
You'll understand in 30 years.
Oh, okay. I'll listen back to this, and then I'll be like, what was Cambridge? Do you want to recap?
Yeah. We live in a society.
We do. Okay. Congratulations. It's only been... Go on.
Many years. Okay. Where do I start? There's the Earth. We're humans on it.
Yep.
And sometimes we don't get along, so we cut each other's arms off and stuff.
Yeah. Or we're born without them. Parts, yeah.
Yeah. It just doesn't... You just don't get one. So then you make one out of stuff.
In your basement.
Yep. And we've gotten it so close that we've written it into our U.S. Constitution. And that's why we have the right to bear arms.
Right.
Which is what I'm working on.
Bear arms?
I'm going to 3D print two bear arms because I have the right to do it, Nicholas.
Yeah, you do.
And I'm going to slash my competition away.
John, you really put me in a good mood.
Thanks. Bring me down.
Well, where can people find us before I bring you down?
StrangerStillShow.com.
Yep.
We are on the Flying Machine Network.
Yeah. If you want to hear our bonus content, consider contributing to the Patreon.
Yep.
Every show on the network releases a bonus episode, which is going to be a huge, like, I don't want to say a huge deal, like a great deal. It's a steal is what I'm trying to say.
You get a lot of episodes for the money.
Yeah, and all of the episodes are awesome.
And I've got two actually awesome episodes I would like to plug before that, too.
Yeah.
Is Nick and I both guested separately on Falling in Love Montage podcast.
Yeah. We talked about it the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It was a huge month for them.
McConaughey,
which is now sadly over.
Yeah.
I'm kind of disappointed, but... hey, it wouldn't be special if it was every day, right?
Yeah, every day can't be McConaughey.
Yeah.
I have that tattooed on me.
You do. You got that last week.
Yeah. And then underneath, I got it wrong. It says, okay, okay, okay.
Autocorrect.
Yeah, it'll get you. Thanks, Siri.
Thanks, Siri. Hey, I got something I want to address real fast, because you can review us on iTunes if you want. And if you do and you leave us some words, we will read them on the air.
Yeah, we've always said that.
We've always said that. And we're not...
haters alike.
Right. Haters alike. Which... and we got our first non-5-star review. So yeah. I'm a little bummed. But I also feel like it's really important to address. So I want to read this and then address it. This is from My Secret Beth, and it's titled Closed Minded, 3 stars.
Yeah, real public of you, Secret Beth. Real anonymous. Yeah.
I will also say thank you for not giving us 1 star. Like, yeah. At least they thought the podcast was quality. It's just not for them.
Yeah, their mics sound great. I just don't like what they're saying.
Yeah. So they said, I'm clearly not their target audience. They have poked fun at several things I've spent years learning about and have experienced as fact. I guess if it hasn't happened to them, it can't possibly be real. Oh, well, unsubscribed. 2 things. I am not so far a skeptic that I don't want these things to be true. As I've said on previous episodes, I go into all of my research without a narrative chosen, and I'm looking for facts. So yes, we are biased, and we do have opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Our bias is toward fact, and our opinion is swayed by fact.
Yeah.
Her, or I would assume her, because the name is Beth, like, you can't... I don't want to be a jerk, but you can't say that your opinion is as valid as facts.
You can't experience something as fact. It's yes. True or it's not.
Right. And I was telling you before we started recording that on Reddit today, someone was like, besides anti-vaccination and flat earth, what is some regressive thought processes that are becoming more and more popular? And this was one of the top results, is that people are saying their opinions are as valuable as someone's facts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel as though you were wrong. Well, my facts say that I am right. And, like, I know that we've probably gotten stuff wrong in the past, or maybe there's studies for some of these things that I haven't found, like on crystal healing or something.
Yeah.
I do my due diligence, and I look for scientific studies on this, and if I don't find it, it's bunk. You don't have anything supporting your claims.
Yeah.
And most of the time, I find stuff that is the opposite direction. So, yes, just to circle back around, yes, we have opinions, but we're not closed-minded. Mm-hmm. I've gone into researching being like, oh, man, I can't wait to tear aromatherapy apart. And then I found out that there are parts of it that's true. And yes, I was mad, but... This is our podcast. This is why we do it,
yeah.
Is to look for the facts.
Yeah.
And my whole process, I was even thinking about this the other day before I even read this review, that when I go, my whole point of this podcast is to...
You want to surprise yourself.
Well, I want to surprise myself, and I want to present the facts and let everyone else decide. Sometimes we get a little bit more snarky than that.
Yeah.
But these are the facts. Like, every episode, my structure when we're skeptical about something is, this is what they claim, this is their evidence, and this is what science has to say about it.
Yeah.
That's my research process in all of these. And if I don't come across something that says crystal healing works, it's not going in the episode.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing there.
Yep.
I can't say that it works if science says it doesn't.
You can't prove a negative either.
Yeah. But I can prove that something doesn't work based on studies.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you show me a double-blind university study, it doesn't even have to be a university. If you show me a double-blind peer-reviewed study that something we've covered on this show actually works, I would love to be wrong. I don't want to be a jerk and think everything is fake.
Yeah.
I want there to be ghosts, because that has larger implications, like there's an afterlife. I want there to be aliens. I want crystal healing to work, because the world would be a much better place.
Yeah.
But I need proof.
Right.
I can't just say, well, you think it's true, therefore it is.
I could see if you're coming into a podcast as someone that believes in that stuff and you're trying to be open-minded yourself, mm-hmm. how you can think that you get defensive.
Yeah.
And then anything that's against what you think ends up being closed-minded to yes. you, which so, is wrong.
Go listen to our episode on cognitive dissonance.
Yes.
That's a very important episode for this, if you're going to listen to our show. And just because we're saying that something you think is true isn't true based on science,
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean we think you're an idiot.
And let me
unless
go
unless you think flat earth is real, well, then you are an idiot.
I could defend, I'll defend them in one other sense.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that's a problem with mainstream news media.
Yeah.
You get someone that's a progressive on,
mm-hmm.
that stands up for your values and for people,
mm-hmm.
but they put you in a segment that's, you have 30 seconds to respond to something, and then they don't touch on it and they move on.
Yeah.
It's the same format with a review.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't get to go into detail about her beliefs mm-hmm. on what specific things. And if there was an open discussion, like, that's what we're here for. That's what the Facebook group's for. Facebook.com/group/Strangers to the show or something.
You'll find us.
Yeah. So,
and that's the other thing too. Like,
being opinionated is fine.
Yeah.
As long as you understand that you're also presenting the facts.
And we've never gotten anyone on this show with differing opinions, which I think is a very valid critique.
Yeah.
Like, if this reviewer came in, gave us 3 stars and said, well, they never have someone taking the opposing view. If there's someone out there that wants to come on our show and defend these things, I am 100% on board and we will not be jerks.
Yeah.
Like, I might be snarky, but that's because I'm in my basement talking to my friend John about crystal healing.
Yeah.
If I were, I mean... It's easy to get wrapped up in it, but I want to have a discussion about it. So if you have evidence that crystal healing works, you want to come on our podcast and tell us about it, we're open to that. We're not closed-minded. Keep that in mind. We are not closed-minded. We want this stuff to be real.
Yeah.
It's just science says that it doesn't
work.
All right. Whew, I feel better.
Do you?
But no. The problem is, no one that thinks we're closed minded is going to get this far into the
episode. No, yeah, and that person already has subscribed.
Yeah,
but that's fine. We'll post the clip and we'll find them.
Yeah,
I'll just send it to all my Facebook friends.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks for indulging me, listeners.
Yeah.
Do we got anything else to say for this week?
Just that if you want to hear Nick go off, mm-hmm. leave us a 5-star review with something really mean.
a 5-star review.
Yeah.
That is not nice. Got it. I thought it was going to go the other direction. Again, just want to plug our network, because Patreon is going to be
extremely important.
Extremely important to us.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that we want to do with this podcast. Like, we want to go to a visual format.
Mm-hmm.
We want to have better audio equipment, like a new interface, just to be completely transparent with other people. We would love to have more microphone inputs.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So if you like our show, if you think we're open-minded,
if you like the truth and science,
consider just kicking a few things our way.
Mm-hmm. Mostly dollars.
And mostly dollars.
Digital.
It will only help this podcast grow. And the other thing, like, if you can't contribute to the Patreon, tell your friends about our podcast.
Yeah.
That's a super helpful way that not a lot of people do. Like, every time I find a podcast I like, I try to tell as many people about it, because I know not a lot of people do that.
Yeah, and so, it's very, very hard to get someone to listen to mm-hmm. Something that takes so much time.
Yeah. So, do it. Tell your friends.
Please.
And add them to our Facebook group without any context.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're not a skeptic.
Please do that. I'm still John.
I'm still Nick.
And this is Stranger Still.
I give you the incredible flying machine.